Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Good morning. And wow.
Hey, Pappas, put her mic up.
Can you hear me now? There we are. I'm here. No flag on the play for later on in Jolo and Dib show.
Yeah, the levels were down.
Mm-hmm.
That happens. I don't know why people put those levels down in the first place.
Sure.
No, as a board op, when it's on the board, you just don't even really look at the mics when you walk in just because you expect them to be up, and there's really no reason for them to be down ever. And unfortunately, that was the time when it was down.
Tisk, tisk. It's all good.
Warriors. Right. Warriors get that win, 114, 111, and that was a close one.
It was.
That, I really didn't think they were going to be winning that game after the half.
Got dicey there.
I really didn't expect that because Damian Lillard wasn't shooting well at all in the first half. CJ McCollum and Al-Farouq Aminu were already scoring more points than they scored in the previous game. I figured, I'm taking my notes here, and I'm sitting there going, wow, if Al-Farouq Aminu and CJ McCollum are knocking down their shots and they continue to do that, and Damian Lillard hasn't made his shots and they're already up by double-digit points, I really didn't have much confidence going into that second half, I can't lie.
When the Warriors are trailing by 17, you start kind of reminiscing back to Game 2 against the Clippers. When they were down by 31, they come out dominant game one against the Clippers, and then game two, all of a sudden, a little more complacent, a little more relaxed, and then you have a 31-point lead. Woo!
Yeah.
It started getting a little dicey there, but you know what? The Warriors manage to come back. They find that fire and manage to get that win. And the Curry brothers, that was a nice little battle there.
I'm looking at the box score right now from the first half. I mean, CJ McCollum was 6 for 11. Who ended up scoring 16 points. He only scored 6 points for the rest of the game. Where's CJ McCollum at? I really thought this was the Warriors game to lose because the Blazers, they came out firing and they just couldn't get anything done. I mean, how do you think right now that your prediction of 6 games is looking? Do you really think that? I mean, so here are your options.
Okay.
I was thinking about this morning. So it's either Portland wins both games. So in Portland. So that's going to make it go 6.
Right.
Or they lose one in Portland, win another, but then they have to win their first game back at Oracle in order to go to 6. Do you think it can go to 6 now?
So it's very questionable, definitely, yeah, after that. But if I was playing this out of my head, which I was doing this yesterday, trying to figure out, okay, how would it actually get to 6? I do see it more as a split in Portland. Damian Lillard has a great last game here at Oracle Arena.
Yeah.
And when they come back, Warriors end up winning it, though, in 6. So that's the way I could see it kind of happening. But I'm not feeling good about that prediction after this. It's okay, though.
That was my main question. You could see it happening, but do you really feel like it would happen? Because last night, I'm sitting there going, the Blazers, they shot like twice as many threes and made twice as many threes as the Warriors did. Warriors had more turnovers, but in the end, it was their defense that really took away the game. And I mean, the Blazers had like zero fast break points. Zero.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do anything. So I'm sitting there going, wow, it's hard to see the Blazers winning another one because yesterday it was a game that they should have had.
I think they'll win one, though. I could see them winning game 3, honestly.
Yeah.
Getting back, They did, again, they've had a really, like, a really horrendous last, you know, just very fatigued right now coming into this game, you know, going into game one and then now going into game two, still trying to fight that. I'm not giving it as an excuse, obviously, but it is something to kind of keep in mind as well. But, you know, going back home, your home court, you got your home crowd. I could see them getting excited. I think they'll steal one, though, in Portland. But if you're asking me whether I want my prediction to be right or the Warriors to go on, I'd rather obviously be wrong. I'd rather be wrong and have the Warriors win in four or five, you know, go for the sweep or win in five. I'd be fine with that. If they win in six, well, I'm right, but as long as they win it.
I mean, it is the playoffs and you go game by game. You can't really just use this last game as a barometer for how the rest of the playoffs are going to go. But if you are, you can't expect this Blazers team to really even come out firing. But I want to get to Draymond Green, though, because what he does defensively, having four blocks in that first half, I couldn't get enough of it. And that block that he had on Seth Curry, did you see Dell and Sonya in the stands? They were a little 50-50 on that. Dell was kind of smiling a little bit, like, he got. While Sonya's like, oh, it's okay. You can take another shot. Aww. Go ahead and take another shot.
Okay, my baby.
Yeah. Seth ended up going in, and he had a great game.
He did.
I mean, he finished off with 16 points, going 4-for-7 from three, including three key shots in the fourth quarter. But Draymond came in and blocked him in that first quarter, and that was – I couldn't get enough of that. And then also what he did in terms of playmaking – the passes that he made, especially to Andre, because in the fourth quarter, you could tell that the Blazers, they were trying hard to go after Seth. Steph. Just going to get those mixed up like Joey and Nick Bosa all the time. But
we'll get another little coin jar here ready to go.
Yeah. Steph and Seth jar. But I'm just saying, like, what he was doing, because the Blazers, they tried to make that adjustment. We talked about that after game one. It was just constant, hey, they're going to – are they still going to sag off the bigs and try and double-team Steph and leave a guy open? Well, they tried doing that, especially in the fourth quarter, and they were following Steph, and Draymond was just making reads, and he passed it to Andre for a dunk. He got a loony up for a lob, and I think that ended up being the difference in the fourth quarter, was just the decoy that Steph ended up being, and then what Draymond was able to do on the offensive end, and then obviously what Andre Iguodala was able to do at the end of the game with that steal.
Yeah, going back to Draymond, amazing energy last night, fantastic defense. He is great. I mean, he almost had what was like a quadruple-double basically almost at one point. Let me see, let me pull this up here. I think it was like how many points? I had it right here. And, of course, I don't have it in front of me right now. Anyway, he was just absolutely phenomenal last night. And to see what he brings to this team, there's a reason why he is the heart of this team. And what he brings is just phenomenal. And then just kind of going back to Steph and Seth, did you notice it seemed like Seth was kind of getting to Steph a little bit? You know, not a lot, like, you know, but just enough. Like, he kind of knew how to kind of play along with him, kind of got a couple steals off him and everything. So I love that whole drama. You see that as, like, some of the top stories right now on ESPN, the whole Curry brother rivalry going on right now. And It's a fun thing to watch, and I think, you know, for you, you know, you have a brother as well. It's like, you know, if you're in that situation, first off, like, how would you guys take it as brothers? And then how would you kind of, like, trash talk each other?
It's just, like, a funny question because my brother and I would never, ever be in this situation in the Western Conference Finals, but...
Well, yeah, I'm not saying you will, still.
I will say, though, you do know your kinks, like, when you're talking about your brother and playing sports against him. You know what he does and his actions and how he reacts to things. And I think that the one steal that you're talking about, or at least one of them, was when Looney set a screen on Seth, and Seth just never really gave up, and Steph didn't expect him to just, like, to continue after getting screened by Looney. He thought maybe Looney blocked him the entire way, and then he came up behind him and just stole him, and he was going to his right. Seth read that perfectly.
Yeah.
And that's the little things you could tell within the whole brother rivalry thing. And I'm really glad, actually, that those two ended up being more competitive, because it made that game ultimately more compelling to watch. At least this is the first game where finally, like, Steph versus Seth, when we coming into this series, I'm thinking, all right, well, you know, it's cool that they're brothers and this is the first time that they're playing in the Western Conference Finals, but I'm also worried that they're not going to be on the floor at the same time for all that long. But Seth ended up last night being the only guy who could knock down any shots in the fourth quarter besides Dame Lillard. So he was in there for an extended period of time. This was the first game where I truly was felt like wrong of going into the Western Conference Finals because I was like, all right, I didn't expect that. So it made the game more compelling for sure.
Yeah, I think we'll see definitely more Steph when you go into game three. You're going to see him, Seth, out there more. I also think that Portland's probably going to go small more often just because it's kind of worked for them a little bit more. So towards the end, it kind of worked when they were going, you know, they were going small. They was definitely more competitive there. So I could see them doing that. But Terry Stotts just looks confused. Honestly, he's just sitting there like, what do I do at this point? And you've got a championship defense out there. They shut down Portland, like we said, in the second half. And you cannot get past this puzzle that is Steph Curry.
Well, here's the reason why he's so confused, though, is because he put his team in a position to win.
Mm-hmm.
The first half was not pretty for the Warriors at all. The Blazers looked like the way more dominant team. And I think it was just in that second half where Stotts is going, okay, my guy Collins, he got five fouls. I don't really want to bring him in anymore. Cantor, he's not doing anything on the offensive end, and we damn sure know he doesn't do anything on the defensive end. And then they had to go small in that third quarter. The tallest player they had on the court was Mo Harkless. You had Seth, Dame, Evan Turner, Rodney Hood, and Mo Harkless on the floor. And I don't know how often they employ that lineup. I might actually look up the numbers here at the break, but that ended up being the turning point in this game in the third quarter. That was what was able to get Jordan Bell all his points and all his minutes because he was just dominating that lineup specifically.
I mean, he shined off the bench. He had double-digit points. He was aggressive. Looked like he almost got hurt a couple times there, but he had a great game, and he looks like he is playing like he wants to play, like he wants to stay here in Golden State, which we talked about yesterday. He says he wants to stay here with Golden State.
Yeah. From the 916 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, that was a fun game in the second half when it was close and they were going back and forth to the score. Honestly wanted to see the Blazers win and put some pressure on the Warriors, but oh well.
The pressure was fun. It was a fun game, but not necessarily I wanted to win.
No, yeah, you never really want that, but at the same time, I do kind of wish that we would have... I haven't seen anything from Dame and CJ yet. Like
I know, that is disappointing, honestly.
I haven't seen a Dame and CJ-type game. CJ McCollum in the last two, he was scoring 30-plus against the Nuggets, and I'm sure fatigue is sure it plays into it, but in the end, this is the playoffs, and you got to perform. These Warriors have been doing this for the last five seasons. And going all the way to June and having the least amount of time to work in the offseason to get ready for the regular season. They've been doing this a long time, and that ends up what makes them champions. But I haven't seen Dame and CJ really do anything yet to put them over that ledge, you know what I mean? Over that hump.
Yeah, they're good games, not great games from them. And their great games are just so incredible to watch.
Yeah.
We've seen that. We've seen that so far in these playoffs before.
I thought McCollum was going to have one of those games. Mm-hmm. I really did. I'm watching him in that first quarter. I'm like, oh, man.
I can see it at home, though. I can see it happening in Portland.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not going to say it's not going to come. I'm just shocked that it's been two games and they really even hadn't made much of a difference yet.
That's what happens when you play this defense.
That is true. Draymond was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Andre was what he did to Dame in the final seconds when they were only down by three.
His run.
Yeah.
we'll get into that too.
Dame was clearly looking for either the three-point play on the foul, or he was just looking to fool Andre and get into the step back and then, you know, knock down the three and hopefully tie the game, but Andre wasn't having any of it. We're going to get into all this. Curry had some cool sound talking about playing with his brother, and Draymond had some hilarious sound talking about Steph playing with his brother. Steve Kerr, he had some interesting comments. CJ McCollum also had some interesting comments as well, and him and Steve Kerr are in the same boat. Stephen Langford, Anna Kakanaki's in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kakanaki's.
Game show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with their product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information.
Wasn't this song also in The Sandlot? This is the song where, like, the other kids are coming. And,
yeah.
You know, right? I love that part.
Yeah, yeah. Green Onion.
Yes.
I think that's what it's called.
Is
Green
it?
Onions, right?
I don't remember. Yeah. I just like the song.
Booker T and something else. Some Booker T and whatever the band is. I can't remember what the band or what the rest of the group is called. You know? It's like Diana Ross and the Supremes. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm thinking of that.
I just recognize the song.
That's what I use.
Yeah. It's good, though.
Yeah. It's great.
You know what else is good?
Huh.
A Warrior win.
A Warrior win is great. And also, real quick, we're going to get to the Warrior game, obviously, because they got that big 114-111 win last night in Game 2, sinking the hearts of all of Portland's fans. But this weekend, and we're going to talk about this also later in the show, but it's the Greek Fest this weekend, right?
The Oakland Greek Festival.
Yes.
Beautiful Oakland Hills, one of the best views you'll ever get in the Bay Area. All weekend long, starting today, tomorrow, and Sunday, 4700 Lincoln Avenue. If you have not been to the Greek Festival, the food is amazing. The people are amazing. All the food that's there, you have everything from spanakopita, lamb sandwiches, souvlakia. By the way, I heard Bonte Hill talking about it yesterday, because Bonte is going to be joining me tonight, because I'm going to be doing opening ceremonies to open the festival tonight.
Nice.
Bonte is going to be joining me out there, and he was talking about it yesterday. I should probably give you the sound, but him pronouncing souvlakia, lukumadas, it was probably the highlight of my day yesterday.
It's lukumadas?
Lukumadas.
Oh, I always called it lukumades, and I stayed in that line for like a half hour
because
it was so long, and it was worth it.
It's worth it.
Then the saganaki as well.
Oh, that's so good.
And I think I ate 3 gyros.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the gyros are great.
Yeah.
I mean, It is all volunteers that work this event, people part of our church, our community here, the Greek community, one of the biggest Greek festivals in America, actually. The only one that's bigger is one in Las Vegas, and that's a 4-day festival. But we're one of the biggest Greek festivals out there. It's a fundraiser for the Greek Orthodox Church, and it's a fun, fun weekend. My son's going to be dancing. You have Greek dancing. You have music. It's going to be a great time. So come on out to the Greek Festival this weekend. It's opening today starting at 10 a.m. Come on out for lunch. Come out for dinner. Even if it's cold, we have some indoor areas. Also, there's the Olympic Sports Bar where you can watch everything from the Sharks tonight. You can watch the Warriors tomorrow.
Yep.
So if you don't have, obviously you're not going to the game. You're not going to Portland. You're hanging downtown. Come on over to the Greek Festival.
Highly recommend going because it is a great time for the 916 on the Children on a Buddy text line. What you mean you don't eat no meat?
Is that your Greek accent?
That was my impression of the My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
The Theovoula.
The Theovoula. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Theovoula. I'll make lamb. Sound like my grandmother.
From it's the 650 on the Children on a Buddy text line too, as we get back to this Warriors Blazers, 650, Kevon Looney has been so key in all these playoff wins. We actually mentioned that at the break because we totally didn't mention him. We were talking about so much. Yeah, we forgot that Kevon Looney he's going to be, if we're looking at this in the future and we're looking back on these playoffs, I hope we don't forget the impact that Kevon Looney has had.
Can't.
I mean, he's been progressively through this series at the beginning, wasn't too hot, but then as the games got on, he's been going up and up. His trajectory has just been going up. I looked at his game. I'm looking at his game logs right now, and you look at the minutes that he's logged. So this is from the start of the first round against the Clippers up till now. So he's got 16, 19, 17, 18, 21, 14. These are the minutes played.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
15, 15, 13. And then this is where it starts to ramp up. 22, 22, 20, 24, and last night he ended up playing 29 minutes. The guy has been about, if you're teaching your kid basketball and just the fundamentals of playing the game off the ball, not even just on the ball, you could go to Stephen Clay and Draymond's passing and Andre's defense or whatever. You could teach your kid that. But when it comes to just off-the-ball offense, fundamental offense, helping the point guards run around and doing whatever they need to do, Kevon Looney's the one guy you need to watch because he's been the – Damon asked Steve Kerr this last Thursday if he should call him the unsung hero.
Yes.
And I guess that should be true because Kevon Looney has been, for
sure. I mean, he has been throughout this whole playoffs. I mean, even when you had Kevin Durant on the floor there, Kevon Looney was such a great impact when it came to the Clippers series. with the Rockets series, and now we're already seeing it here. I mean, he was 6-for-6 last night on the floor. He was so powerful in the paint. I mean, he finished with 14 points, 7 rebounds in those 29 minutes that you talked about, and that's off the bench. He actually started the second half, so I'm wondering actually now if they're going to go. Do you think they might start him, or do they keep the same lineup in the beginning, keep him in that same rotation? How do you think they go moving forward?
You know, I don't think they need to start him right away because Andrew Bogut, right off the bat, at least, I mean, he got an assist right at the beginning of the game to Draymond. So I think that, and feel free to text the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 888-957-9570, and there is a text that I want to read at the end of this segment before we go to break. But, oh my goodness, what were we talking about? Kevon Looney, whether he should start. You know, Bogut just has that presence at the beginning, and I think that at the start in the opening lineup, you can put Bogut in there just to kind of give the defense a little bit of a curveball, I guess. But there's not really any reason to start Kevon Looney right now just because of the impact that he's making as that sixth man, because as we saw with the Clippers, their sixth man ended up being their most important guy. So I really don't see the point in making a change now, at least at the start of the game, and just to get Bogut some sort of minutes. And if Kevon Looney's rolling, then, yeah, start him in the second half. But, you don't need to start him off is what I'm saying, you know?
Kind of like if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I kind of like the role that he's played on this team, and he has been somebody that has been incredibly important. And I love what he's brought. I just, we've had so much. We've been wondering what he's going to turn out to, what kind of a player he's going to turn out to be. And he has really proved himself, and he's proved his value, especially in these playoffs. And he's shown what he could bring this team. And I would love for them to be able to keep him down the road. I don't know if they'll be able to afford to, but if they could, man, what he brings this team is something special.
Well, he's one of those guys that grew up as a rookie with this Warriors team. And at first, you're thinking he comes out of the draft and you're like, okay, well, we already have kind of a championship team. We don't even need like the rookies to make that big of a difference.
Was it the hip injury? I'm trying to remember. He had that injury early on. Didn't he go through like a surgery and stuff? I'm trying to remember it now.
Can't remember specifically.
That's when he was like, you're talking about when he wasn't needed in the beginning.
Yeah.
And so he wasn't needed at first. And so that's why they were able to kind of put him on the shelf, let him go through his surgery, and then he's been, kind of hold off and wait for him to bring something special down the road. Now he's doing it.
Yeah.
He's fulfilling basically that destiny that he's had here coming to Golden State.
And you grow up with these guys and your basketball IQ just gets bigger and higher. Mm-hmm. It just grows because you're sitting there with you're just inhaling the information that Draymond is giving you, that Andre is giving you, that Bogut is giving you. So you're seeing Kevon Looney as a byproduct of this Warrior team and just growing into them. He's kind of one of the first examples of a guy growing with this team and learning from this team for sure.
I mean, you see, I think it was Draymond Green had talked about how he learned so much from Andrew Bogut. And you talk about Andrew and just that going down the line of all of this veteran presence that you have there. And you're right. And I see that's why somebody like Jordan Bell wants to stay here with the Warriors, because he sees what he has here. And he sees, like, you look at, what's going on with Toronto with Patrick McCall over there. He's not getting any minutes. And Jordan Bell's now waiting his time out. He last night got 13 minutes playing. He didn't play at all pretty much in the Houston series. Mm-hmm. He was DNP a lot. And I know that at the end of the season, there was a lot of question marks about him. But now, in a faster pace series, he is showing his worth, and I think that you see what he can bring to this team because of all the veteran presence and what they all bring.
So Looney is going to be a free agent after this season, and he's not under contract with the Warriors. How much of is he driving up his stock right now
a
with
lot.
These other teams?
Oh my gosh.
It's going to be interesting with this offseason now, the way Looney's playing, and Bell obviously made it clear that he wants to stay here. And from this 510 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, just texted in, don't forget they let Looney test the market last offseason and nobody wanted him. And I mean, now, why wouldn't anyone want him?
Yeah.
He's making a case right now. And I think, Lowe was talking about he could get paid $7 million a year at one point. And
I think he went to 10 at one point.
If he was worth that last year, but this year it's really hard to not make a case for him because he's clearly had an impact when KD's out and Boogie's out too.
Yeah. So he's somebody that's definitely proved his worth this year, I think.
From the 831. Kevon Looney, as Kevin Harlan puts it.
I know the pronunciation of his name. So Kevon.
It took the Warrior fan base a while. We didn't realize it was Kevon for a while. It took a little bit.
Then we worked on it.
There were some people who kept calling him Kevin. There were a lot of callers who would call in on the Warriors post game calling him Kevin Looney. Now they're calling him Kevon from the 831. Also, he's also from Milwaukee. So when Brooke Lopez goes out, look for Looney to play with Giannis.
Well, just because somebody's from a town doesn't mean that they're going to go there. I mean, sure, I'm sure you want to play for your hometown if you can.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, a lot of these players say they don't want to play in the area that they grew up in because it's a lot of pressure to, you know, to be in that area, and you have a lot of requests from your family, your friends, and that's why you don't see, you know, Steph. And, you know, it's fun for, like, Steph to go back to North Carolina to see people over there, to see people that he grew up with.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
doesn't mean he's going to go to the Hornets.
Exactly.
Right. But, you know, I don't doubt it. It's weird that Brooke Lopez is that other X factor besides Giannis on that team. That's just odd. From the 650, which is the text I wanted to read before we went to break.
Yes.
If you didn't hear, there was a home run derby in Detroit yesterday Oakland A's beat the Tigers 17-3.
It was a football score.
I don't know what I was more surprised by, though. I'm not going to lie. The A's scoring 17 or the fact that the Tigers put up zero against this pitching staff. Because there has barely been any teams that haven't been able to score a run off of these starters. I think was Montas going yesterday? Because he's been a baller for them for sure. But other than that, it's been a little bit of a trash heap when it comes to pitching for that team. That's the only reason why they're down so far.
You're just crossing your fingers, basically. It's like, please, come on, just get through this.
Yeah.
Because, the offense shows up. It's the defense. We've been having a little bit of issue.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
But we are going to continue to discuss the Warriors and Blazers. They got 114-111 win. Feel free to text the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795, 888-957-9570. And from the 707, Dre straight up bald, hands down. We'll get into all that next. Stephen Langford, Anna Kagaraki's in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kagaraki's.
Looney catches the inbounds. Back to Steph Curry. Off the dribble. Three. It's up and good. And Steph can feel it right now. He is keeping the Warriors within shouting distance now. It's 69-56 Portland. 9:05 to go in the third. Lillard has it stripped and stolen by Looney. Throws ahead to Steph Curry, who stops and pops a 15-footer. That's good. Stephen Curry grabs it. Stephen got the break. Stephen comes middle. Handoff. Klay Thompson. The three on the go. Good. Thompson double, puts it on the deck, weaving to the paint, hand off to Iguodala, back to Klay, open three on the way, money, cold, hard, cash, and it's 69-64, rebound Iguodala, he wants to run, down the floor, all the way, pump fake, throws outside, Steph Curry, pump fake, flyby, three ball, short, Looney offensive rebound, out to Iguodala, downstairs, Draymond, layup, good! Terry Stotts has no choice. He has to call another timeout.
And that was the turning point in the game in that third quarter when they went on a 16-2 run. As the pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber, join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for coffee, meet and greet with their product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information. And from the 408 on the Chilton Body text line, I found this interesting, is the Warriors had one three-pointer made in the last 16 minutes of the game. And I think part of that was also missing open shots, but part of that is they weren't really taking that many because they were just taking what the defense gave them. And the Blazers tried making that adjustment late in the game, or early in the game
early
even.
Early in
the game, they just tried double-teaming Steph. And there were some times where he just got open and it didn't work. Klay was also had some open looks, too. He wasn't all that hot. He was 9-for-22. It could have been a little bit better. Could have made some open shots. But that's neither here nor there because they ended up getting the win in the end. But, yeah, I found that interesting that the Warriors finally were just not even looking for the three anymore while the Blazers were chasing around Steph and Klay as if they were just going to shoot a three from the perimeter whenever they wanted. But, you know, Draymond getting it done with Andre and Kevon Looney. So they were just taking what the defense gave them at that point, I think.
Yeah, the Warriors had to adjust to the adjustment last night. So in the beginning, they started off, the rotations were a little off, a little slow last night. Their perimeter defense, their own perimeter defense wasn't as strong, and they had to adjust to Portland's style, what they had to do with their perimeter defense in order to get the threes going. They didn't get as much, but they were able to drive the ball more. You saw some great alley-oops last night. And just their defense in the second half is what helped them win the game, because in the first half it was very questionable, and you're thinking that you saw kind of a deja vu against the Clippers, where their game two, they came a little more complacent, a little more relaxed in game two, and then they let that one get away from them. And this time they didn't let that happen again. They shut it down in the second half and were able to get the win.
CJ McCollum, you're talking about that first half. Mm-hmm. He was unbelievable. He was 3 for 4. From three, ended up having 16 points. Then he ended up going 0 for 3 in the second half from the three-point line and only finishing with 22. Here's CJ McCollum after the game.
They stole it, but they earned it down the stretch. They made more plays than us in the last 2 minutes, last 3 minutes. But I like our chances going forward. I like the way we came out and competed. You know, we got to bring that same energy at home. Understand that this is the first time in 19 years we've been in the conference finals, so I know they'll be excited. And I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to play at home and build on what we've done. Obviously, being down 0-2, it's not what you'd like to see, but that's our reality. So now we got to go get some at home.
CJ McCollum was plus 14 in the first half, along with Damian Lillard, who was plus 11 in the first half. CJ McCollum ended up minus 9 by the end of the game, while Damian Lillard ended up minus 7. And then Steve Kerr continued after the game also, and then he kind of agreed with CJ McCollum.
Oh, totally. We stole that game. I thought they outplayed us for much of the night, the majority of the night. But, we brought enough competitive fire in the second half to overcome, their great play. And we've been here before. I think our experience helped us. We've done this a few times, we stole it for sure. They outplayed us.
You know, there's a fine line between stealing a game, I think, and then also letting it slip away.
Yeah.
And letting them steal it, because in that, I understand the steal that game, and then Steve Kerr says we stole it for sure. So we'd probably have to agree with the head coach on that. But after I'm watching it, if I'm just giving my initial reaction before any of these press conferences come along, I thought the Blazers more or less let it slip away rather than the Warriors actually took it from them.
I think you're actually seeing, though, that the Warriors are the more dominant team. And because of that the reason why I think they stole it was because they should have won it. It was because of their lack of the things that they do well. They should have done, and they didn't do it. And so they didn't live up to that expectation. So you're not seeing them do that, which means that that's where Portland steps in, but they still couldn't keep up when the Warriors were at their best game. So that's the thing, where the Warriors are ahead above them for sure.
Yeah.
And you're seeing that. And that's where they stole it for me in my mind, because you can't let it slip away when you can't catch up. It's like you're just trying, it's like trying to catch water. It's just going to keep slipping through your fingers because you can't hold it. There's nothing to hold on to.
Yeah.
So that's where I think that the Warriors, kind of in their own way, they say they stole it, because they should have won that game.
We're finally starting to see why CJ ended up going on his podcast and calling out the Warriors for what they did, because they are playing them without Kevin Durant and DeMarcus Cousins. Then you saw why they were so angry, the fact that they added both of them, especially DeMarcus, because they couldn't beat this team, at least in these past two games. I don't want to say that, however these last two games played out is how it's going to play out going forward. These next two in Portland could be completely different for the Blazers. It could be completely different for the Warriors. But as of right now, if we're just judging from these two games alone, you are seeing why CJ and Dame Lillard have been pretty outspoken about the way the Warriors have been shaking up the Western Conference.
I have mad respect, by the way, for Dame and CJ. Those two, just the way that they handle things after a loss, they've done really well.
Yeah.
And you're talking about how the Warriors are up 2-0. Don't forget what happened against Houston. Warriors are up 2-0 on Houston, and then they went back to Houston. And once they went to Houston, that's where the Rockets became dominant, and things kind of started falling apart a bit for the Warriors at that point, but they had to work their way back. By the way, did you see that CJ met Jennifer last night?
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of a cool moment.
Yeah, that was good of ESPN to do that. I'd be interested to see, I've always wanted that kind of like to be there to be like a forum where with star athletes, you know, and then you have these guys that are on Twitter with the Twitter fingers kind of in the crowd. And then you just call them up by one and you have them like just go up and meet these guys and realize like who you're actually talking to, because, you know, she didn't expect CJ McCollum to reply to her and it to go viral by saying, "I'm trying, Jennifer."
Yeah, so for those who don't know, Jennifer is the woman who inspired one of the best tweets that the NBA has pretty much seen. Like, she actually tweeted to CJ, "Win a playoff game, then talk." And then CJ McCollum goes, "I'm trying, Jennifer." And that just inspired so much out of Portland. You have shirts, you have all kinds of things, people posting up things everywhere about, "I'm trying, Jennifer." Jennifer is everywhere. And so to get those two together was really a cool, cool moment. And I like that idea of having kind of a forum like that. I think you're right.
Yeah. And it's the classic case of, you know, Twitter fingers meets the actual person that they're talking like, because that's the one issue right now with social media is just these people talking all this trash to these athletes when in reality they're not doing anything. And I don't know anything about Jennifer, but she didn't seem to mean any harm by it. It wasn't one of those crazy harmful social media things. She was just like, "Win a playoff game, then talk," kind of jokingly. So it was fun in games, but I really want to see like the ones who are like insulting these guys.
Those are just mean.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people are just mean. You won't say that to their face. I would dare you to say that to their face.
Yeah. Afterwards. Anything any fan around here, especially in the Bay Area, anything they say about LeBron, dare you to try and say it to his face. Because I guarantee you one thing, you're going to be looking up since he will be taller than you.
Oh, God, yeah.
Unless you're 6'9", which case, I mean, unless you're like Melvin. Intern Melvin, 7 foot intern Melvin here at 95.7 The Game.
Old toothless one.
Unless you're him, you'll be looking down on LeBron. But other than that, I would love to see kind of the whole Twitter forum happen. And then what was the other text I wanted to read here from the 408 on the Chilton Auto Body text line? Feel free to chime in, 888-957-9570. Can Seth sign with the Warriors next year? It's weird seeing Sonya and Dell celebrate while in Blazers gear.
It is weird. But it's, you know, I don't know if I'd want that. As much as I'd love to have
as
Seth.
As like a mom for like both your
sons? No, I mean Seth and Steph on the same team. Look, don't get me wrong. It'd be great to have Seth here. He'd be great to have somebody to like, you know, add onto the bench. But I think he wants to be his own person. And right now, if he were to join the Warriors, I don't know if it'd be that he's in his brother's shadow still. I think by being on another team, he has the opportunity to really shine on his own.
Yeah.
And I think that's the idea of going. I like that whole idea of them going up against each other. It's fun. I know it's hard to watch the parents root for each other, but you know what? That's what happens when you have siblings who are going up against each other.
No, that's one thing is, I don't think Seth would want to play with Steph. Mm-mm. No way. Your brother is one of the best players that we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to play behind his shadow the entire time. You want to be your own player. And he was his own player. Ended up last night making 3 3-pointers. And he also, in the fourth quarter, rather. And then he was also getting it done on the defensive end. And here's Steph actually talking about playing with Seth yesterday and actually having him be a competitive game with him.
This was like the coolest experience I think I've ever had playing, you know, against him. We talked about the stage and he was amazing tonight. You know, every minute he was out there defensively, he was a pest. Made 3 big shots in the fourth quarter that were very timely. And for my parents, I know we've talked about it the whole series and these last 2 games. It's probably nerve-wracking as heck for them, but it worked out perfectly tonight. He played well, and we won.
You can hear Medina's laugh in the background.
You're right.
Yeah. And also, I forgot about this, from the 408, 415, and 415. Yeah, Seth was already on the Warriors. He was on their, what was the D-League team at the time.
Now the G-League.
Yeah. So, I mean, we did forget about that little stint, but he doesn't want to stick with them and come back here. And just, what, play backup to his brother? I don't think he wants to do that.
He'd be a bench role player right now. That'd be what would happen.
Yeah.
And look, but I still like the idea of him being able to shine on his own. And, you know, as a mom of 2 boys, that's something you want your kids to shine in their own spotlights. You don't want, you know, it's hard to live in another one's shadow. So you want them to do what's best for them. So that's something that, as a mom, I would say, do your own thing.
It's crazy how much of the spotlight has been on the Curry family in these last 5 years. This is just another reason for it because every time Seth or Steph or whatever, when Seth got that behind-the-back steal or whatever, when he was chasing down Steph, you just look over and they just shoot a shot right over at Sonya and Dell. And then right when Seth makes that three late, Sonya and Dell again. And Dell's just kind of smiling like, yep, those are my two boys right there. And then Sonya's rooting for Seth. You could tell. She's rooting for
the
young one.
She wants him to get one.
She's rooting for the young one, which is totally fine. And you see, if you watch the documentary, the Facebook Watch one, Steph versus the game, they say that, or Stefan versus the game, rather, they say that Seth is exactly like his dad through and through, while Steph is more like his mom.
I see that.
But you're also seeing his mom root for Seth more just because, yeah, she's seen her other older son have success. So she probably wants to see the younger one, too.
Of course she wants to see him have success. And what I love is how the NBA has basically dubbed them, pun intended there, that they've been dubbed the royal family of the NBA. And think about what's surrounding them here. So you've got, you got your Steph storyline, you got your Seth storyline, who happens to be engaged to Callie Rivers, who's Doc Rivers' daughter. And Doc Rivers has been at the games supporting his son-in-law.
Yeah.
And then you have Sydell Curry, who's married now to Damian Lee, who's part of the Warrior organization as well. So it's really interesting how these NBA players have been so intertwined. And it really feels like NBA royalty almost when you watch them.
It's too much. Too many family ties. Too many family ties for me to count. And one guy who was not too sympathetic about Seth possibly not performing is Draymond Green, especially after he made that block on him in the first quarter. Here's Draymond Green after the game talking about Seth Curry's performance.
As a brother, I got a big brother. You compete your entire life. And to be on this stage, it don't get much better than this. Me on the outside looking in, I really don't give a damn. I hope Seth miss every shot and get destroyed by Steph. So, he had too good of a game tonight for my liking, but he was definitely amazing.
Draymond Green with four blocks in the first quarter. He ended up totaling 16 points with 10 rebounds and 7 assists. Were you worried about him with foul trouble? He got four fouls with about 5 minutes left in the third quarter, and he's telling Steve Kerr, nah, keep me on the floor. Like, Steve Kerr was trying to take him off, and you saw ESPN get that great shot of him just going, no, keep me on the floor. Were you kind of worried about that?
You get worried at first, for sure, because it's Draymond. I love Draymond, but you always get worried because of the foul trouble. But as soon as he says that, you're like, all right, I got confidence in him that he's going to keep it together. He'll be fine. You know, as long as nothing completely crazy happens. And this is a team, kind of going back to the Rockets, it's not the Rockets team. It's a different team. This is a different style of basketball you're playing here. You're not playing up against a lot of extra flopping and antics and everything. You're playing just fundamental, straight up basketball right now. And I think that Draymond is so good at this that if he has confidence in himself, he'll be fine.
If you heard Draymond talking after the game, the way he was making the way he talks, for one thing, just about the game in general. He gets pretty detailed into it, and he's just talking about what the offense or the defense was giving him 4-on-3 opportunities and then turning into 3-on-2 opportunities because the defenders are just chasing around Steph and Clay. But yeah, fundamentally though, Draymond thinks he's the best defender of all time, and
he told
Marcus Thompson that last night, and it's hard to really go against that. I mean, maybe not the best defender of all time because, there's obviously an argument to be made. But last night he showed that he's been the heart and soul of this team because he brings the energy, and especially on the defensive end, the rebounding that he was doing on the defensive end. He wasn't getting many offensive rebounds. That was more left to Kevon Looney and actually a little bit of Jonas Jerebko too.
Yeah.
But Draymond Green getting those defensive rebounds, you can't say enough about the guy. You really can't.
You know, you're talking about his points and all, everything we've talked about. He was almost kind of flirting with the quadruple-double. Not quite, but you know what I'm talking about. But 16 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 blocks. So listen to this. Tim Duncan and Shaq are the only players with more 15-10, 5-5 games in the last 20 years of the playoffs than Draymond. I mean, that's some great company. We've heard some numbers about him with some stellar basketball players. Completely amazing. He's Hall of Fame players, and he is right up there with them.
He's only had like two seasons where he's not been a winner.
Yeah.
He came in and immediately starting from 2013 when they just started their playoff run, he's made an impact instantly. He doesn't know what losing is. And I thought about that. I was like, wow, he's ever since he got here, ever since he got into the league, he hasn't really been part of a losing culture before. So it'd be interesting to see if he'd ever be in a losing culture. But by the looks of it, they're going to keep Draymond next season. I think that's going to be apparent. They're going to keep him for the long haul, even after. I know he's on a contract next season, but whenever, you know, his time comes around to be a free agent and get a new contract, they're going to keep him, I think, for life, for sure.
They should, and I know there's a lot of question marks about other players' future when you talk about Kevin Durant and Boogie Cousins and what their future is going to look like, not just for the long run, but also the immediate future.
That's something we haven't even brought up yet, was the fact that Kevin Durant, he's not going to be with the team in Portland. Monty Poole said league sources told him that Durant's not even going to be back in this series at all. So I really don't think they need them in this series against the Blazers. And I think these two games, as small of a sample size as it is, I mean, they haven't even played in Portland yet. So we haven't even seen how that goes on the road.
Right.
But judging from these first two games, I think that they can take they don't need KD right now, not against this Blazers team, especially one that's going to throw out a lineup like Dame Lillard, Rodney Hood, CJ McCollum, and then Mo Harkless as their big guy. They're not going to do anything. And Evan Turner as well. They don't need KD for this series, in my opinion.
No, I'm with you on that. And the official word from the Warriors about Kevin Durant and his strained calf is that he's shown good progress since beginning his rehabilitation program 1 week ago. At this point, Durant is not ready to advance to on-court work. As for DeMarcus Cousins, who has a torn left quadricep muscle, he's progressed to on-court work but is still not ready for live action. At this point, the plan is for both players to be reevaluated again in 1 week. Both Durant and Cousins were examined by the team's medical staff yesterday.
Now, no matter what happens in these playoffs, the finals aren't starting for another 2 weeks.
Right.
So you can think you have like a 2 week cushion right now to bring KD back. But I mean, is there ever going to be a point where they're going to need him back this series and they feel desperate? Like, do you think that they could? I don't see it happening. But what would have to happen in order for them to get to that point where they're like, oh man, we need KD back?
If they lose both in Portland.
If they just lose both in Portland.
And then maybe, and it's very questionable going into a game five situation. If it's a really tough game five and Portland seems to be rolling, I could see them bringing him back. If they go to game six, yeah.
Yeah.
I would see that. If he's healthy enough, I could see them bringing him back.
And here's Steve Kerr after the game talking about Kevin Durant's injury.
You know, hopefully he continues to progress. And he has made progress, but, you know, it's a little more serious than we thought at the very beginning. And so we'll see where it all goes. But he's in there all day long getting treatment. He's done a great job of committing himself to that process. Rick and his staff are in there all day. Hopefully he'll be back at some point.
Can't say I'm all that shocked about this, though, because there is something to guys like Reggie Miller, who was on the broadcast, who was adamant that it was an Achilles. And there is something to all these athletes out there who were saying, oh, I've seen that before. That's an Achilles. That's an Achilles. And then it comes out as a right calf strain, which seems way less significant. I can't say I'm all that shocked that this is more significant than they expected.
No, you're right, actually. You're right. And it does. I mean, the fact that you, when you think a strain, it's like, okay, that's painful, it's bad, but it's not as bad. But you're right.
Compared to a ruptured Achilles.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you had two extremes.
Yeah.
Those were complete extremes there. So you're right. I think maybe it was, maybe they were just not being as serious in the beginning as it's not, it doesn't sound as bad as they were letting on. So I don't know.
I think for the sake of the NBA and just for the Warriors roster in the playoffs, I don't think they wanted it to be as serious as they made it out to be, or I don't think they wanted it to be rather that serious, because you already have LeBron James out of these playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant has been the one kind of enemy number one to the rest of the NBA because he joined the Warriors. So he's that one guy that you need one guy in the playoffs that everyone loves to hate. Tom Brady's been that guy in New England for football. In baseball, you just hate the Yankees in general. You don't hate specific players. You just hate when the Yankees are in
right.
the playoffs. That's kind of how it's been. I mean, these past few years, it's sort of
pinstripes.
Yeah, I guess now it's really the Dodgers these past few years who have been making the rounds, and I don't know, maybe the Astros. You don't really hate specific players in baseball, I guess, like in these playoffs. But when it comes to football and basketball, you've had those specific players that people love to hate. So if they came out and said, hey, KD's gone for the rest of the playoffs, there's no way he's coming back, or there's barely even him a chance coming back before the finals, it's like, well, what's that going to do for viewership? I mean, it's just, it would be pretty bad for the NBA, I feel like, if they would have just come out and said, yeah, it's a ruptured Achilles.
You know, you're kind of right on that. I never thought about that, but the idea of the storylines and the drama surrounding the NBA playoffs, I could see that actually maybe being a thing that's like, you know what, just let him hold off a little bit, you know, kind of hang him by a thread to see maybe he'll come back. I wonder how much the team knows for sure, whether or not that's true or not. Yeah. If that were to be the case, how much does the team know about it? Do the players know about that? Do they know, hey, we got to plan without KD?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. We got about a little less than a minute, Anna, and want to ask one quick question. What is this weekend?
This is the Oakland Greek Festival this weekend.
It's the Greek Festival this weekend. Everyone should go on out. How do you get tickets? How does that work?
So you can go either buy them there. Buy them there. You can go online to OaklandGreekFestival.com. All the information's on there. 4700 Lincoln Avenue, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Fantastic food, dancing, music. It is a great time. Lots of fun. So come on out this weekend. Support our community and enjoy the fun.
I highly recommend you go out there because the lucamades are like little
donut holes,
little
basically.
Donut, dessert, honey. Cinnamon, sugar, whatever. And then the gyros and then the saganaki. Sandwich. The saganaki is my favorite thing on the planet.
We don't skimp on meat.
Go to the Greek Fest, everyone.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.